John chapter number 10, and if you have a Bible, look at John chapter 10, or there might be one underneath the pews or behind the pews or something, and just kind of maybe share a Bible with someone so they know what I'm reading, so I'm not making it up. And one of these Wednesday nights, we're going to give out extra points to not only those that come, but everybody that brings a Bible. And I don't know if I'm going to warn you about that. I think it's just going to be a surprise thing. We'll have you lift up Bibles and we'll count them and we'll go from there. So bring your Bible on Wednesday night. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now you'll notice Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he's talking about himself as the shepherd. In fact, this is the shepherd chapter of the Bible. The word shepherd appears in this chapter more times than any other chapter in the Bible. And the word sheep appear in this chapter more than any other times in any chapter in the Bible. 17 times you read the word sheep here in John 10, and shepherd is mentioned 6 times, and we see Jesus, again, taking an illustration from nature, that is of a shepherd with sheep, and I don't know how many of you have ever seen that. I wish you could. It would just help you so much understand this passage. I remember when I was stationed in Germany, seeing the shepherd outside the walls of the little army base that I was on, and watching him many times, and then over in Israel, February, to see the bowed ones down in the central and southern part of Israel, and to see that the shepherds and the sheep and the watchdogs going by flocks trying to find food for the sheep. You know, to be able to see that with your own eyes helps you to understand this text. I'll try to describe some of those things to you tonight, but boy, I hope someday you get in a situation where you can see it and it'll help you understand Jesus as the shepherd. Now notice the word sheepfold in verse number 1. A sheepfold was a pen, sometimes square, sometimes circular. It was a pen that had a high fenced wall or just a high fence around it, and it had one gate leading into it, and only one gate, and that gate is what we call here in this chapter, a door. I want to say some things about Jesus, and again, that's what we've been doing on Wednesday night, just making points about the Lord Jesus Christ that hopefully will give you some joy. And number one is this: Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. Notice the word door is mentioned several times in this chapter. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door. Look at verse number 1. He that entereth in, he that entereth not by the door. Well, you notice some try to enter not by the door, some by the door. And then down in verse 7 it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. As I said before, to the best of my recollection, when I was a 12-year-old boy sitting in church one time, I heard a pastor preach the gospel for the first time ever. I don't remember what his sermon was about, but I'm almost positive he alluded to this verse, verse 9, in his sermon that day, and it's a verse that struck out to me that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the Holy Spirit used verse 9, I believe, the day I was saved, when Jesus said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So notice the word door here, figuratively in verses 1 and 2, and then defined for us in verses 7 and 8, 9, as a picture of Jesus Christ. Remember the sheepfold or the pen where the sheep were kept in for their safety and protection or at night had only one gate to it. There were not many doors. There was one door and only one. Some of you have probably remembered that song in children's church when you were growing up. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? And have you ever entered into God's family through the only way, the only door, the only gate, Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He speaks here about thieves and robbers. There were sheep stealers back in Bible days, and I'm sure probably today too. It says they climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Thieves and robbers would scale the walls or the fences at night and come in and steal sheep. But the shepherd, however, would go in by the door. He wouldn't scale the fences or climb the fences. Notice verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So not only number one is Jesus the door, but number two, Jesus is the shepherd that leads the sheep in the door. Jesus is the shepherd that leads the sheep in the door. See, Jesus is not only the way to heaven, Jesus is the one that leads us to him. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So he finds us and then he brings us to himself. So he's not only the door, but he's the shepherd that leads us to the door. We've got to thank God tonight if you're saved for the day Jesus came looking for you. There is a day in our lives when Jesus comes along, he crossed paths with us, and he wants to save us. And boy, when he crosses paths with you, you better not miss that moment. Don't miss that day. Don't put it off. Blind Bartimaeus heard the commotion of Jesus. He said, what's the commotion? And they said, a man named Jesus passes by. And Jesus passes by our lives at some time, seeking us. He found Zacchaeus up in a tree and said, make haste. Today I must abide at thy house. He came looking for Zacchaeus. He must needs go through Samaria. That was an area that Jews avoided at all costs. But he must needs go through Samaria one day. And he sat down on a well and a woman met him there at noon. Why? Because Jesus had a divine appointment with her that day. To meet her. See, he's not only the door, but the shepherd that leads the sheep in the door. And tonight might be the night of your salvation. Don't miss it. Don't put it off. Don't say some other day. But tonight, if Jesus passes by your life, Bartimaeus started crying out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around him tried to keep him quiet. He said, hey, be quiet. You didn't have time for little blind beggars like you. But the more they tried to quiet him, the more he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to quiet him, and finally Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. Amen? Amen. You ought to cry out to the Lord tonight if Jesus is passing by your way and ask Jesus to save you. I'm glad as a 12-year-old boy that day Jesus passed by my life and said, what about it, Art? Today is the day of thy salvation. We're told in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It never says next year is the day of salvation or if that's something for you when you get older. It says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So Jesus is the door and he is the shepherd that leads us to the door so we can go into the sheepfold. And the sheepfold can represent many things. I think there's many proper interpretations of the sheepfold. I think it can represent in this text heaven and eternal life. It can represent fellowship and safety in the Lord. It can represent the church. And if we use it as a picture of the church, then I want to say in verse 1, don't be a sheep stealer. Leave people and other churches alone. And I'm talking about good churches that are gospel preaching churches and other independent Baptist churches and so on and so forth. I remember Dr. Barney Lee one time used to have this leaflet that he wrote called Sheep Stealing. Because a lot of times some churches will do that. Sometimes pastors don't have the ethics they ought to have and church members don't have the ethics they ought to have, and they try getting people out of other churches. Why don't you come to our church? Our church is better. then you're blah, blah, blah. We should never do that. Never do that. But he went out to a field somewhere and he found a sheep and he picked it up and put it in his arms and he was holding the sheep. And they took his picture and put it on the front of the leaflet about sheep stealing. I thought that was pretty good. We ought not to steal sheep. We ought to leave them in the sheepfold where God has them. And so, Jesus is the shepherd that leads us to the door. Sheep need to be led. Sheep are dumb and defenseless. A sheep is one of the only animals known to man that has absolutely no defense senses or mechanisms. They can be led to the slaughter. They cannot find the front of the barn that they have lived in all their lives. Pigs can do that. Cows can do that, but sheep can't. You can put a sheep behind the barn on a cold, wintry day, and it'll stand out there and freeze to death, not have enough sense to walk around the front and go in the barn. They are dumb and defenseless animals, and they need to be led. And we need to be examples. We need to be leaders. We need to bring people to Christ. There's people who want to be saved, and yet all of their life of searching, they never figure it out until somebody comes and takes them by the hand and shares the gospel with them and shows them how to be saved. They can never figure it out. I was the same way. I wanted to go to heaven. And I had a tormented mind as a little boy, wondering if I was good enough, thinking God had a big balance in heaven where he put all my good on one side, all my bad on the other side. And if my good outweighed the bad, I went to heaven. If my bad outweighed the good, I went to hell or purgatory, who knows where, and until I paid long enough to get out of there. And that the thought just tormented my mind. Well, none of that is true. None of that is true. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us, the Bible says. One day a pastor got up and preached the simple gospel while he was preaching, and there I sat, 12, 13, however old I was in the church that day, and it all made sense, and he led me to Jesus Christ, the shepherd who took me the rest of the way through the gate, to the door. I couldn't figure it out by myself. You know, almost every other animal can. It's amazing when you study animals like Homer pigeons and penguins and cats and pigs. They can figure it out. Now, Homer pigeons, you can let them out hundreds of miles away from the barn. And they'll go up in the air, make one circle, get their magnetic range, and then make a beeline and go right back home hundreds of miles away. But a sheep can't. A sheep can't. I'm thinking about preaching a sermon someday entitled, "We're All a Bunch of Animals." There's a lot of animals in the Bible. It's an interesting study that we can learn from. You know, the Bible calls us eagles. In some texts, the Bible says we ought to be as harmless as doves, and wise as serpents, and all kinds. But boy, this one sheep humbles us, doesn't it? We're kind of dumb and defenseless sometimes, and we need a shepherd to lead us. And that. So, number three, Jesus has a discernible voice to all of his sheep. Jesus has a discernible voice to all of his sheep. We're at verse number 3. It says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." As dumb as sheep are, they know the voice of their shepherd. A shepherd can literally name his sheep, Mary and Larry and Harry and so on and so forth. And when he calls that name, that sheep might not know much, but that sheep does know its first name. That's true in nature. It's true in nature. And my friends, if you're here and you're saved tonight, then you have had an experience with this truth before. You have heard Jesus Christ speak to you before. You have heard him call you by name. And if what I just said to you is strange, then maybe tonight's the night you need to listen for his voice. But the Bible says here in verse number 3, he calleth his own sheep by name. And verse 4, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And as a result of knowing his voice, notice the protection we have in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. I don't know if you've ever crossed paths with somebody who belongs to a cult, or they came and knocked on your door, a cult member or something, and there's just something wrong with their voice. It just wasn't there. There was something missing. While they're talking, you're saying, this sounds strange. And you felt like fleeing, didn't you? You felt like closing the door and saying, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. Did you ever have that feeling? Now, I have. And I've even had that feeling around certain people who claim to name the name of Jesus Christ. My spirit and their spirit just didn't bear witness with each other. And sometimes that happens to me with false doctrine and false principles. There are preachers up there preaching or teaching, or some teachers up there teaching, and you hear something on the radio, and you say, no, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not right there. That's not the voice I usually hear when it's confirming truth to me. This is the power of Jesus' voice. It's kind of hard to explain this to someone who isn't saved. You know, sometimes people ask you the question, do you ever have a young person ask you the question, well, how do you know when it's the right one concerning marriage? Did you ever try to explain that? Boy, that's tough, isn't it? But you know, if you married the right one, you know. You know what it's like. There was just something there when I saw Leslie. I don't know what it was. But when I saw her about 27 years ago for the first time in church, there was just something there that just kind of clearly said, there she is. And I get the same question about the ministry. How do you know when you're called to preach or to teach or for the ministry or something like that? And man, I have such a hard time answering that question for men. But it's the same thing, the same voice that you heard when you were saved. How do you know you're saved? One writer said, you ask me now how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I don't know, but I just know one day I heard the Lord's voice. I didn't hear it out loud, but it spoke to my heart. It's still a small voice of God, and it's very discernible. And that same voice you'll hear many, many times in your life, if you listen, about many, many other decisions, and even in day-by-day walking with the Lord, He can tell you things. He can speak to you while you're reading the Bible in the morning, or speak to you in your quiet time of prayer. You hear that voice saying, I want you to help so-and-so today. Call them up. Write them a note. Send them a letter. Go visit this person. And you know it's God's will. You know it's God's leading. Look at verse 27. We won't get this far tonight, but look at verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. So notice the voice of Jesus Christ. Number three, Jesus has a discernible voice to all his sheep. And then number four, five, and six, Jesus can save us, Jesus can satisfy us, and Jesus can shepherd us. Notice these points now. Let's go back. We finished at verse 5. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus again unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. All those other religions, all those other false prophets, they were all thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, my be, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's point number four. Jesus can save us. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Number five, Jesus can satisfy us. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. There's point five again. Jesus can satisfy us. And then notice Jesus can shepherd us. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Notice three things there. Number four, Jesus can save us. Verses 9, the first part of verse 9. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, that word saved is a Bible word. You can find it 44 times used in the New Testament. It means to be saved from your sins. That's what it means. It's kind of like being out in the middle of Lake Erie, drowning. And you've run out of energy. You have no life flotation devices on. You're about ready to go under for the last time, and a boat comes along, and in your last bit of physical strength, you say, save me. Well, the person in the boat would know what you wanted. They would come and maybe throw you a life raft, or maybe they'd reach down their hand and pull you out of the water, and they would save you from drowning in the water and put you into the boat into safety. They'd reach down and save you. That's what Jesus wants to do. Only we're not drowning in water. The Bible says we're drowning in sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And as we're drowning in our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 say, because he's holy and we're unholy, he's in heaven, we're on earth, and there's no way that we can go to heaven with our sin. God's not going to let us in his presence as a holy God with our sin. The word holy means to be separate from sin. The penalty for our sins is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. But Jesus came to be our Savior. That's why we call him our Savior. When Jesus was born at the Christmas story, it was commanded of the angel, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's something Jesus does. It's not something you can do. Too many people are trying to save themselves. They say, well, I'm going to save myself. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to give money, and I'm going to take the Eucharist, and I'm going to take the sacraments, and I'm going to be confirmed, and I'm going to learn catechism. That's like being out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and saying, well, I'm going to just tread water for the rest of my existence and save myself. No, eventually you're going to go under, and you're going to perish in your own efforts. The Scripture says it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't save yourself. But if you cry out to Jesus Christ and lift up your hand, he'll reach down and save you out of sin. Pull you to safety. He is the Savior. Don't trust in yourself or religion or your church. Trust in Christ. He can save us. But not only can he save us, salvation is just the first thing Jesus wants to do for the human race. Second of all, he wants to satisfy us. Look at the end of verse 9 and 10. The end of verse 9 says this, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is the picture of sheep being taken care of, sheep being satisfied, sheep being led by the shepherd to graze in green pastures, to find water, to find sustenance, to have all of their thirst satisfied, to have all of their hunger satisfied. Jesus is not only the Savior, he is the Satisfier. Probably the greatest verse in all of the Bible that talks about the Lord as a shepherd teaches this same truth. Psalm 23:1 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's a Satisfier. See, but there's too many people who only know Christ as their Savior, and not as their satisfier. Why? Because they don't continue to follow him. He's your Savior when you believe. He's your satisfier when you follow him as your shepherd. The Lord is my Savior, I shall not want. It's not what it says. It says the Lord is my shepherd. When he becomes the one that I am following, then he will satisfy me. I shall not want. And then he is the shepherd, number six. Jesus can shepherd us. We see here that he is called the Good Shepherd. The phrase Good Shepherd only appears three times in the Bible. Two times in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep. So Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And notice that he is contrasted here, and we're almost done for tonight, but he is contrasted here now with a hireling. With a hireling. Verse 12 talks about the hireling, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. In other words, he's just doing it for the money. This one watches sheep for money. That's why he's called an hireling. Many in the religious community of all religions of the world are just hirelings, even Baptists. There's Baptist preachers that are just hirelings. They're just it's just a job. It's a business to them. It's perhaps a little kingdom that they're trying to build for themselves, a human kingdom, because they want to be famous or something. Look what I did. There's a lot of hirelings in the ministry. We need some men who will surrender to the ministry, who will be shepherds. And what's the evidence of a good shepherd? He gives his life for the sheep. His life's not about himself. His life's about the sheep. His life's about protecting the sheep. He doesn't flee when the wolf comes. He doesn't flee when adversity and the enemy tries to get those that he's ministering to. He stays right there. He defends the flock. He cares for the sheep, but the hireling doesn't care for the sheep, verse 13, because he's just a hireling. He flees. We need some men that'll be shepherds. We need some fathers who'll be shepherds in their homes. You know, I believe every father is the pastor of his home. I was writing a letter today to a dear brother who has a wife and six children. I believe he has a congregation of seven people following him. He's going to answer to God for every one of them. He needs to stay put. He needs to stay faithful. He's struggling. A lot of men leave their own sheepfold. They leave their family. They abandon their wives and children. I wrote to him and I said, now, dear brother, I said, I want you to know that there's seven souls following you that you are going to be accountable for on the judgment day. Every father needs to look at himself as the pastor of his family. Every husband needs to look at himself as the pastor of his wife. The reason God gave you a wife in Ephesians chapter 5, you check it out. The main reason is for a spiritual reason, that you can prepare your wife for presentation at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the main reason you marry a wife, is to help her become more spiritual and prepare for the judgment day. It's the main reason. And every one of you in this room or husbands tonight need to be good shepherds. And don't flee. Stay there and care for that little flock. Pastor your wife, pastor your family. The word pastor and shepherd are synonymous in the Hebrew. Same word is used, shepherd and pastor. So we're going to end there tonight. I hope that's given you some things to rejoice in the Lord about tonight. Number one, Jesus is the door. He's the door to heaven. But number two, Jesus is the shepherd that leads us to the door. He's looking for you to bring you to himself so you can get into heaven. And then number three, Jesus has a discernible voice to all his sheep. You'll know when he's speaking to you. And then number four, Jesus can save us. Jesus can satisfy us. And then Jesus can shepherd us. You can follow him the rest of your life and never have to fear danger. We ought to fear danger when we get away from Jesus. When that flock of sheep around that shepherd, when one starts going away from the flock, that's when he's in danger. That's the one the wolf, the mountain lion, is looking for. The easy prey that gets as far away. The safest place to be if you're a sheep is as close to the shepherd as possible. Now let's bow our heads and close our eyes right where you're sitting. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed as we